Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
We're back. It's 12 after. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. Thank you very much for being here today. And those of you who just tuned in, welcome aboard. Eva Rosenberg is our guest, ladies and gentlemen. Eva is one of our top tax experts. She's a national tax columnist, and she helps people with their tax issues, whether they if they're in compliance or especially if they're not in compliance. She helps people get back into the system as well. She's a longtime member of our Brain Trust. She's our good friend. Eva Rosenberg, welcome back to the show.
Good morning, Jim. How are you?
Good morning. It's good to have you back, as always.
You've got a great lineup today.
Yeah, it's beginning with Eva. Yeah. Eva, let's get into the discussion about what's going on right now. We're hard by to the national filing date for individuals for their tax return, April 15th. And
we're on April Fool's Day. No, not quite.
Not quite. But we're close.
Yeah, you know, one of the things that I think make people really, really crazy about trying to get their taxes done is, surprisingly, they're trying to get it done right. And so they've put everything off to the last minute. They're still waiting to fix things, clear things up, or whatever. Don't push it, guys.
Mm-hmm.
Just go ahead and file the extension.
Don't make yourself crazy. Don't make mistakes. Don't add an extra layer of brain damage to your life. It's not necessary.
Yeah. The only thing I want you to understand is that if you really know that you're going to owe money when you file your tax return, ultimately, go ahead and pay as much of it as you can right now. That way you'll reduce any late payment penalties, which these days have become seriously generous. Right now, if you file an extension, they drop from 0.5% a month to 0.25% a month.
Hmm.
And the interest rates are down around at 1% or 2% now. So don't go pulling money off your credit card and paying those exorbitant transfer fees, you know, or check advance fees,
right,
to pay the taxes.
Especially
when IRS is going to give you, they're going to give it away.
Yeah. Especially if you think that in the next 4 months, that you got a shot at getting that money in another way.
Yeah. Now, the other thing that I want you to realize is, and I remember reading something or hearing something on the radio from someone saying that you have to fund your IRAs and SEPs and things like that before April 15th. You do with IRAs, but if you're self-employed, you can open a SEP.
Right.
If you open the SEP before April 15th, you can fund it until you file your tax return, which might be October.
Right, October 15th.
And that will be for last year.
Right.
So you'll be able to take, so let's say that you have a profit of $50,000. You can take 20% of that up to, you know, whatever the SEP limits are,
mm-hmm,
and fund that into your account for last year, take the deduction for last year, but pay it in October of this year. So, pretty good planning device.
Right.
Now, but open it now.
Of course, to get to October, that would be a second extension. The first extension,
sure,
April 15th, would get you to August 15th.
That's right.
You get that one, no questions asked.
That's right. In August, you'll have to tell them something like, something drastic like, I'm still doing my bookkeeping.
The dog ate your
homework,
that'll fly. Like
that. Yeah, no big deal.
Yeah.
I've extended
to October more than once, and I've never had a complaint, and nobody's knocked on my door and said, what do you think you're doing, or whatever.
They haven't come over with cookies and tea or something?
No. They haven't done that either. I'm afraid they haven't done that. But I think they've done exactly what I wanted them to do, and that's just stay away from me.
Exactly.
When we say they, folks, we're talking about, talking about the IRS.
Buddies.
Yeah, right. That's right. Well, you know, I actually have some friends in the IRS. There actually are some nice people at the IRS. Do you think the IRS is a little friendlier than they were, say, 10 years ago in general?
16, 20 years ago, I tried to get somebody's penalties waived for their payroll taxes. I mean, the guy just did the silliest things. I couldn't even imagine anyone doing anything like what he did, but I couldn't get them to waive the penalties, even though they held up the determination he was willing to pay them for a whole year, and
right.
We just couldn't figure out how much to pay them.
And they charged him for that year that while they were dilly-dallying.
You bet. Today, I could handle it differently. Today, there are people I could actually talk to, and it's not just because I've developed connections. It's because they've really changed how they react to the public. Mm. They've opened up a lot of avenues, and now we didn't used to have a taxpayer advocate's office.
Mm-hmm.
Now we have this office that's separate from IRS but runs parallel to them in the system. And if you can't get anywhere with IRS, you can go to the advocate's office.
It's kind of managed by a group of volunteers. A lot of them, the folks are volunteers, aren't they?
No, not at the advocate's office.
I was thinking they had regional people who were on an oversight board, that kind of thing. Am I thinking of another part of the IRS?
That's part of the IRS, yeah. They have a group of about 100 people that meet every quarter.
Okay, aren't they involved with the advocate's office?
I don't know if they're involved with the advocate's office.
I could be
office.
Wrong about
really,
that.
The advocate's office is a separate part of the U.S. Treasury.
Okay,
and it reports to Congress, and they write an annual report every year to Congress, talking about the things they found going wrong in IRS in the tax system, and they propose legislation.
So they're a little IRS conscience sitting on the shoulder of the IRS, aren't they?
And they're wonderful.
Yeah.
They're wonderful. But because of separation of powers, they used to be able to get into your tax files and fix things.
Mm-hmm.
But because they've become so separate, they can't get into your tax files. They have to make up a list of things that need to be done and then turn it back over to IRS and have them fix it, and so it takes longer.
But is it getting done?
Things are getting done.
Yeah.
Things are getting done. I'm hearing wonderful things from people using the advocate's office.
So it's a kinder and gentler IRS?
Yeah, and you know what? I'm seeing a lot of good stuff.
They're still not warm and cuddly, folks. They may be kinder and gentler, but they're still not quite warm and cuddly.
You know what? I've been seeing good things, but I'm hearing bad things, and we'll talk about that
if
you want.
Yeah, exactly. In fact, let's hold off on that because I want to take a quick break. Folks, Eva Rosenberg, as I said, is a longtime member of our Brain Trust. She's the author of 10 Businesses to Start Online Without Investing a Dime. And her website is taxmama.com, TAXMAMA.com. Check it out when you get a chance. Lots of other good stuff there, too. 20 after. Stay with us. We'll be right back. I'm Jim Lassigane, the Small Business Advocate. Eva Rosenberg is our guest, ladies and gentlemen. She's the author of 10 Businesses to Start Online Without Investing a Dime. Eva, I know they can get it on your website. Is there any other place you'd like to send them?
Well, you know what? CBS MarketWatch is just filling up with really great tax articles. Besides myself, we've got Andrea Coombs and Kay Bell from Bankrate just filling up the place with really excellent material.
Great.
So between taxmama.com and there, either we've written it or we have links to it.
What is their website, the website of the other one you were talking about?
cbs.marketwatch.com.
Okay, cbs.marketwatch.com. Check that out, folks, if you want to. And if they have a question about their taxes, they can go to one of those locations and ask a question?
If they come to taxmama.com and click on the Ask button, they can submit their questions.
All right. Sounds good. Check that out, folks, at taxmama.com. All right. You were going to tell us about, I think you had something else you want to tell us about the IRS. Is that right?
Well, you know, right now there was this interview with Mark Everson, with the commissioner of the IRS, about a week ago in San Francisco. And he was talking about the fact that they are ramping up on their audits of high-income taxpayers.
Mm-hmm.
And I've got to tell you, Jim, that just gave me chills. Do you know what high-income means to IRS?
No.
I've been trying to get them to define that for me because when I looked at their statistics, the number that I saw just scared the heck out of me. The number that they track as high income is $100,000.
Wow.
On a tax return.
Wow.
Two garbage collectors living together earn $100,000.
Right.
You know, we're talking blue-collar workers. We are not talking high-income people. People earning $100,000 in the
city. A nurse and a guy that works at the BMW plant in South Carolina.
That's right.
His wife works at the hospital, or vice versa. Maybe she works at the plant. He works at the hospital. Yeah, as you say, you know, they earn a total of that month.
They earn $100,000, and they can't make ends meet because of insurance and, you know, kids and school.
Right.
$100,000 isn't high income.
Mm-hmm.
It is if you're a senior citizen and you've paid off your mortgage.
Right.
And you have no children to support.
Right.
But that's not who they're going after.
Right. Well.
And so I have been doing research this week trying to get answers from IRS about whether or not they're really doing it, who they're really targeting, and are they, you know, setting up tiers for putting more energy into the people who really have the high income and are trying to hide it.
But they've obviously got income coming from the kinds of sources that would lead to some kind of improprieties, as opposed to a nurse and a factory worker.
Right, and that's why I don't want those people bothered.
Right.
You know, I want them really to focus their energy on people who are avoiding taxes rather than, you know, those of us who are working our butts off just trying to keep things together.
Well, and let me maybe make one slight little correction. Maybe forgive me, but and pardon me for this. But you said avoiding taxes. Avoiding taxes is our legal right. Evading taxes, that's the problem.
Well, they're looking at people who are avoiding taxes, who are using things they think are legal. They don't realize they're evading taxes.
You said in their mind they're avoiding it, but in actuality, technically, they're evading.
Yes, and one of the things that IRS has done is they've, and I've been seeing this, they have a very intense tax shelter unit who are looking at everything and thinking of it in terms of, is this a tax shelter or not? I've just been going through an audit now for probably 6 months with one of the nicest gentlemen you could imagine. I mean, he's absolutely delightful. I'd love to have a social life with him. But my client has to pay for this time for him to come visit me every couple of weeks. I don't want to do that.
I don't blame you.
but he's looking at something. He's devoted many, many hours, many billable hours, many of IRS's resources to something that's going to turn out to generate no money for IRS. And I hate to see the resources wasted.
It's just like a witch hunt? Is that what you're talking about?
He's looking at tax shelter issues and thinking in terms of this, that he may have stumbled on something that is a whole framework for illegally not reporting income or illegally not taxing income.
I have seen that happen before. I have seen agents get something stuck in their head about a particular taxpayer and literally almost run them out of business. And of course, there are many stories about that, I'm sure.
Not going to do that. He's pretty well understanding now that there were mistakes, but the original framework was totally legitimate and legal.
Right.
But he has to finish it now.
Right.
You know, now that he started it, he has to run the course.
Mm-hmm.
And so even the guys that are trying to do this, you know, nicely, ethically, kindly, still have to go through their system.
Right. Yeah.
But here's the things that they're looking at.
I got about 20 seconds.
Okay, they're looking at illegal deductions in your business for children and personal expenses.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're running your parties, weddings, bar mitzvahs, communions, and stuff through there, hey, stop that.
Right. And that's the main thing. And I can see that. And the thing is, they're going to find a lot more of that because the more small business owners there are, the more that kind of thing is going to happen by accident or by intention. It's an opportunity. And I'll be honest with you, if I were running the IRS, that's where I'd be looking too. Eva, thank you for being here. Good job today. TaxMama.com is the website. Don't forget, she's got a great newsletter, too, folks. Thanks, Eva.
Great to be here.
Eva Rosenberg, ladies and gentlemen. She'll be back. Quick break. It's 29 after. I'll be right back with Dr. Robert McTeer. The show is brought to you by IBM and Office Depot.
Mm-hmm. Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.